Message to Israel. Shalom Aleichem. Peace be unto you. Shema Yisrael Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Hear, O Israel, our God, the Lord, is one. This is the voice of the message to Israel. The ending of the old year and the beginning of the new year is an appropriate time for inventory. In a special message for this season, A.J. Overton illustrates the worst way and the best way to begin a new year. I am happy to present Mr. Overton in a special New Year's challenge, The Silver Trumpets of Redemption.
Thank you, Mr. Spencer, and greetings in the name of the Lord Yeshua. Closed for inventory. Such signs often appear near the ending or soon after the beginning of a year. Whether it be a calendar, religious, or fiscal year, inventory is most proper and necessary. We read in the Hebrew Scriptures of the mighty monarch, King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon, taking such an inventory, but in a most tragic attitude. The prophet Daniel records the event as a personal testimony or account uttered by this powerful potentate. I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at ease in my house and flourishing in my palace. I saw a dream, and it made me fearful. The visions in my mind kept alarming me. So I gave orders to bring into my presence all the wise men of Babylon, and I related the dream to them. But they could not make its interpretation known to me. But finally, Daniel came in before me, and I related the dream to him. In this God-given dream or vision, Nebuchadnezzar saw a majestic tree with abundant foliage and fruit that provided both shelter and food for beasts and birds. An angelic personality descended out of heaven and commanded that this unusual and gigantic tree be chopped down. Yet its stump and roots were to remain and to be protected until it was drenched from heaven by the dew for 7 years. Daniel was troubled when he heard this dream. However, he faithfully presented the interpretation. This is the decree of the Most High, that you be driven away from mankind, and your dwelling place be with the beasts of the field, and 7 years will pass over you until you recognize that the Most High is ruler over the realm of mankind and bestows it on whomever he wishes. And in that it was commanded to leave the stump with the roots of the tree, your kingdom will be assured to you after you recognize that it is heaven that rules. Daniel then advised, "Therefore, O king, may my advice be pleasing to you. Break away now from your sins by doing righteousness, and from your iniquities by showing mercy to the poor, in case there may be a prolonging of your prosperity." This vision concerning Nebuchadnezzar the king was fulfilled. We read, 12 months later, he was walking on the roof of the royal palace of Babylon. The king reflected, that is, he took inventory, and said, "Is this not Babylon the great, which I myself have built by the might of my power and for the glory of my majesty?" While the word was in the king's mouth, a voice came from heaven saying, "King Nebuchadnezzar, to you it is declared, sovereignty has been removed from you." Immediately the word concerning Nebuchadnezzar was fulfilled. Nebuchadnezzar then continues with his personal account. "But at the end of that period, I, Nebuchadnezzar, raised my eyes toward heaven, and my reason returned to me, and I blessed the Most High. I was reestablished, and surpassing greatness was added to me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise, exalt, and honor the King of heaven, For all his works are true and his ways just, and he is able to humble those who walk in pride. And so at the end of 12 months, or we would say today at the end of the year, Nebuchadnezzar took inventory. As he looked over Babylon, a city he had made beautiful and large from a poor and small beginning, he saw only what he had accomplished by his own might, for his own honor, and not at all for God's glory, and certainly not by righteousness. If such a profit and loss sheet is ours, then we may well take care that we be not judged as was Nebuchadnezzar. For God is able to humble those who walk in pride. The second book of Moses, Exodus chapter 40, records a much better way to begin a new year. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, On the first day of the first month you shall set up the tabernacle of the tent of meeting. Now the tabernacle was the dwelling place of God himself in the midst of Israel. It was therefore a place of prayer, worship, and communion with the living God. It was a place of the sacrifices, the sin and peace offerings. The Ark of the Covenant was there in the most holy place, containing the commandments of God written on the tables of stone by the finger of God himself. Now if we rear up the tabernacle in our lives on the first day of the first month, prayer will have an important place in our lives during the new year. Worship and thanksgiving will enter in a very special manner. The Word of God, His commandments, will convict and convert. We will learn anew the need of the substitute, the sacrifice, the shedding of the blood for our sinfulness and sins. There will be confession and forsaking of sin. We will be taught the only and proper way into the presence of a loving but most holy God. The inspired scriptures, the Tanakh, written by prophets and psalmists, will point us to Him, Yeshua HaMashiach, who is the substance of all of the shadows in the sacrifices, offerings, and ceremonies. And the tabernacle was a place of testimony, witness, and truth. It spoke of God's power, goodness, and care. The other nations surely observed and marveled. How could this be? 3 million people in military order marching up and down through the terrible wilderness. How their subsistence, their food, their water? The answer came from the tabernacle and the hovering cloud above. The living God is in their midst. My friends, is this true in our lives, in our homes today? Will it be so in the days ahead? To make this certain is the best possible manner to begin the new year. All these things and happenings to Israel concerned redemption. Their physical deliverance from slavery, the new privileges and the marvelous provisions were more than the strictly temporal. These historical events, institutions, and instructions contain pictures of spiritual truths. Redemption becomes a term for spiritual deliverance. In the fourth book of Moses, Numbers, the Lord gives further instructions to Moses. Make yourselves 2 trumpets of silver. These trumpets, it must be noted, were made from the silver given in acknowledgment of and as a symbol of their redemption. Every Israelite who was listed from 20 years old and upward had been commanded to bring half a silver shekel as an offering to the Lord. It was the confession of their obligation to God to whom they belonged. He had redeemed them out of slavery for His own delight. The silver was to be devoted to the service of the sanctuary. When the priests blew long and loud upon these silver redemption trumpets, they proclaimed to the uttermost limits of the camp that these belonged to God. He had redeemed them. He had rights over them that could not be challenged. They were to be at His disposal. Whatever their own engagements or pursuits, when the silver trumpet sounded the assembling call, they were to respond. If in the months of the year ahead we would please God, properly fulfill the relationships of life, and understand the true basis of all spiritual life and service, then let us give careful attention to the truths of redemption that the silver mouths of these trumpets proclaim. The psalmist declares, "The words of the Lord are pure words as silver tried in a furnace." The silver trumpets proclaim God's word to us at the opening of a new year concerning redemption, God's right over the purchased people, and the way to blessing in that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. The first message to be recognized is, you are not your own, you are bought with a price. The blood of that first Passover lamb and the sacrifices of the centuries that followed only foreshadowed the true lamb to come. You are not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Are you, my friend, truly redeemed? The silver trumpets were used for summoning the congregation. We, if redeemed, continue to be instructed not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. The trumpets also proclaim the times to journey, to travel. They were pilgrims in the great wilderness. We also, if truly redeemed, are reminded that we are only pilgrims with a special destination. Again, the trumpets sounded forth in their days of gladness, their solemn days, at the beginning of their months, and over their burnt offerings and peace offerings. Redemption was always the theme. We can approach God only through His plan of redemption. Life has true meaning only when we are redeemed. The Hebrew Scriptures declare that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission or forgiveness. To be purchased by the blood of the true Passover Lamb, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ, brings us into His holy presence. The psalmist prayed, "Teach us to number our days." Will you know redemption in the new year? This comes only by acknowledging the Redeemer. He would declare to all who trust Him, "I am the Lord thy God." Will you trust Him?
And now, may the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob cause His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you and give you peace. Shalom.